Hey, good evening, all. Welcome back. Welcome back to what is supposed to be Hilchos Shabbos, but is actually this week Hilchos Chanukah. And my apologies, I meant to announce this last week. The truth is, I was thinking about starting either this week or next week and making this transition here to Hilchos Chanukah. It occurred to me that specifically when it comes to Hilchos Chanukah, and especially some of these, I don't know, topics that we're going to outline here over the course of the next few weeks, are rather important to get a head start on. Sometimes by the time you start learning about some of the I don't know, the different aspects of Hilchos Chanukah, you already have your plans, right? We've already committed to this party, that party, to being this place or the other place at a given time. I've found that in past years, I end up fielding some of those shilohs after the fact. I always try to make a mental note to try to get ahead of this at an earlier point next year. And then more often than not, I fail to do so. So I think it's very, very important to talk about Hilchos Chanukah in advance. It's important to know the chiyuvim. It's important to understand the zmanim. It's important to know what our obligations are on Chanukah. And specifically, I think with respect to some of these prakim that we'll take a look at out of this Sefer Nitei Gavriel. Nitei Gavriel is a very interesting series of svarim on all kinds of different areas of halacha related to Moedim and Shabbos and all kinds of areas of halacha. And this happens to be the chelek, the volume on Hilchos Chanukah. So these prakim in particular deal with the notion of traveling. And what happens if you're not where you intended to be, or you're not where you're supposed to be? What happens if you're not at home? You're going to be getting home late. You're basically more or less within the environs of your home, but you're at somebody else's house. Family get-togethers, Chanukah parties, masibos, things like that. So these are all things that are very, very important to keep in mind and to be aware of before we start making the plans. More often than not, it's just a little bit of planning that can make the difference between either being mekayim the mitzvah properly, or maybe chas v'shalom not being mekayim the mitzvah at all, or being mekayim the mitzvah in as ideal a manner as we possibly can, as opposed to just sort of stumbling haphazardly into a bidyeved just out of a lack of planning. Sometimes it's more complicated than that. It's not always the case. Sometimes you just your time is already spoken for. In the interest of Shalom Bayis and being with family before you've really had an opportunity to even to have your say or to have your own ideal set into place. Sometimes that's how it works, but at the very least, to be aware of some of the considerations involved in traveling, how far I may be away from home, what are then my obligations in terms of coming back home, lighting at different times, and things like that. So hopefully we'll take a good look at that over the course of the next few shiurim and go from there into maybe even some other topics within Hilchos Chanukah as well. Okay, so let's take a look. We're starting already well on into the sefer. We're going to start at Perek Tes here. Einu b'beiso b'shas hadlaka. What happens if you're not at home at the proper time for lighting? So we should even start there and should just note that there is some difference of opinion as to what the ideal time to light actually is. Some hold, and this goes back to the Rishonim, some assume that the ideal time to light is already as early as Shkiyas HaChama, sunset. And some say that no, it's really ideal to light come Tseis HaKochavim. Perhaps more of the Rishonim. It's hard to say one way or the other. But anyway, different minhagim. The Mishnah Berurah seems to go in the direction of saying that it's more Tseis HaKochavim rather than Shkiyas HaChama. Then how would you go about calculating Tseis HaKochavim? How many minutes after Shkiyah, after sunset, is Tseis HaKochavim really? Is nightfall really? Is it a half hour? Is it 42 minutes? You know, depending on the time of year and et cetera, et cetera. So all different sorts of calculations. That's another topic for another time. But you may already have a strong minhag in your family, one way or the other, to specifically wait for either Shkia or to wait for Tseis, whatever that may be, whatever that time, that established time is. And happy to have discussions with anybody offline about that specific point. But meanwhile, once you've established that reality, so what happens if I'm not there? What happens if I'm not home at the ideal time that one is supposed to light? So. Ideally, 2 points. Number one, ideally, you should make a point of trying to be at home. And not only should you try to be at home, but also to try to be at home yourself. Try to be at home yourself. Now, this is going to be spoken of from the vantage point of, let's say, the man of the house, if that is the reality, that's the arrangement. If we're talking about a husband and wife, if we're talking about a husband and wife and children. So that is the point of view that this halacha is coming from. Speaking of the man should try to be home and to be able to light on his own. We'll say in the very next clause here, rather than, so then yitzav le'ishto. What if he's not able to be home? So the bid-the-evid here, and this is, again, operating under the assumption that, let's say, very, very, you know, traditional sort of environment. Husband is at work. Wife is at home. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it back in time for Hadlakas Neris. Then what do I do? Really, really try to be back. Do everything you possibly can to be back and to be back at the right time. What if that's not possible? What if that's not feasible? So if that's not feasible, then he can leave word with his wife. He can instruct his wife to light for him on his behalf. Something that we have to be aware of, that we have to be conscious of when we speak about these halachos in the most traditional sources and the most classical sources, is that they do not take for granted what we take for granted, which is the ease of communication that we can have in real time, right? The idea that I could say that, you know, it's Shkia. And again, some people are very, very makbid to light specifically at Shkia, but let's say, even if that is ordinarily what I do, but okay, if you wait until Tse, so there's still many, many opinions to rely upon, even if that's not your norm. So I can actually have a conversation with my wife in real time saying, I'm going to be home in 10 minutes from now. Don't light yet. I'm going to be home in 15 minutes from now. Don't light yet. And we'll circle back to that issue of, might there even be later zmanim, even beyond the ideal time, when still perhaps it's appropriate to light. But speaking about the prime time for lighting, if let's say I'm not around, so then, or if I'm not going to be around, or if I fear that I'm not going to be around, so then I can leave word, let's say, with my wife to light on my behalf. Ola echan mibnei habayis, or somebody else, or let's say my daughter. I couldn't leave, in my case, I couldn't leave my son. My son's not bar mitzvah yet, but you leave somebody, or you know that a cousin is staying, or other people who might be staying in your house. You have, somebody dorming in your house or something like that. So one of the other bnei bayis as well, I could leave instructions with them to light on my behalf. Sheyad liko bebeso, that they should light for me in my house. Ve'im ein bnei bayis yecholim lahadlik. Let's say they're not able to. Then yachletzavos la'acher sheyad lik bebayis. Then you could even instruct somebody else to come into your home and to light in your home. Vafilu imashliach kvar hidlik va'atzmo. And that's the case even if the shliach that I'm appointing, the agent that I'm appointing, my neighbor, already lit in his own house. And I'm saying, do me a tova, do me a favor. I'm not going to be around at the ideal time to light. Can you please light instead of me at that time? And I'll be home later that evening. We'll still have to address, well, what if you're not going to be home at all? If you're not going to be home at all, nobody's going to be home. You're not home. They're not home. Nobody's around. Is there still value in having a neighbor light for you? So this is kind of this immediately we have this tiered system where ideally you should really be there. Ideally, whoever is chayev to light should be at home at the time of lighting at the Zman Hadlaka. Let's assume, just for argument's sake, we're talking about Tzeis HaKochavim, we're talking about nightfall. So, by the time Hanukkah rolls around, I don't know, whatever that is, sometime around 4:30-ish, probably something like that, a little later. So to be around that time, maybe a little after 5-ish, something like that. So it's ideal to try to be around at that time. What if you can't be? What if you can't be? So then perhaps to leave word with somebody else who is going to be home, you go ahead and light without me, and then I'll be home afterwards once it's already been lit. If let's say you don't have anybody that you can leave word with in your own homes, then perhaps potentially having a neighbor come and acting as your shliach to go and light for you. And even though they're acting as your shliach, so they could still do so despite the fact that they may have already been yotze themselves. That would still be acceptable. Okay, now, a couple things to point out here now that we've already kind of, we've waded into this territory. What's complicated about Neris Chanukah as a mitzvah is that this becomes a difficult mitzvah to really classify. There are certain mitzvahs that are incumbent upon a person to do themselves. And there are certain mitzvahs that need to be put into place, let's say, for the sake of my home. My home needs to be properly set up. My home needs to have mezuzos. My home needs to have a maka, needs to have a mica put around a, let's say, an open an open, exposed mirpeset, like a balcony or that sort of thing. There's a mitzvah to actually place a railing around so that people, chas v'shalom, not stumble and not fall off, depending on the given height and how large an area it is, et cetera, et cetera. So those are things that need to be done to my home. It's not something that I personally am obligated in, so that if it was already done, it's not something that I would then need to do. If I buy a home from a Jew and the Jew already had mezuzahs up on the house, and I buy the home from him, and he's really supposed to ask me, do you want, I mean, I'm planning, I'm going to leave the mezuzahs there. So good. Yeah, you should leave the mezuzahs there. I come into the house. I don't need to. I don't have any mitzvah to specifically take them down and put them back up so that I can fulfill the mitzvah. That's what we call a chovas habayis. It is an obligation that really devolves almost on the house. Now, that doesn't mean that every house is walking around with this obligation. It specifically has to be a house that's inhabited by a Jew. But once it is so inhabited, owned and inhabited by a Jew, then there is an obligation for the home to be properly rectified by having the mezuzahs put up in the doorways. There are also obligations that obviously are incumbent upon us, right? It's not just a chiyuv to like have tefillin made and then to leave them on a shelf someplace. I have an obligation to put tefillin on. Chanukah is very difficult to classify. It may be one or the other or both. And it's difficult to precisely qualify or classify exactly what it is. It may, at least in certain aspects, act like a chovas habayis, right? That it's something that has to be done for my house, even if I'm not the one to do it myself. And once it's done for my house, it's not something that I then would be obligated to do myself, on the one hand. On the other hand, it may be that even if it is happening in my house, I might still have a personal obligation to at least do my best to try to do it myself. So those two realities sort of coalesce when we're speaking about at least what the ideal situation is here. Ideally, it would be best if I was actually home myself to be able to light. If I can't, then it may be that my home still very much needs to have those neros Chanukah lit. And if I can't be the one to do it, then I appoint somebody else as my shliach to make a point of doing it. Now, I can't have somebody else act as my shliach to do something that my own physical person needs to be engaged with. I can't have somebody else put on tefillin for me. I can't have somebody else eat Karban Pesach for me. I can't have somebody else sit in the sukkah for me, but I can have somebody else put on mezuzahs for me. So it's this unusual sort of reality where I'm acting, I'm ideally trying to be there myself. And we'll see that this reality also manifests itself in other ways, also expresses itself in other ways as well, we'll get to. So in part, we look at it as being something that I personally am obligated in. In part, we look at it as something that my home needs to have done to it. But once it is so properly done, then I may be in the clear. So ideally, I try to get there. If I can't be there, so then I would have somebody else try to do it for me. Perhaps. Let's take a look at Beis. And Mabal Eno Bebezo. So let's say husband's not home. Gamini Bezo Shoim B'Makom Acher. And also, all of his family members are elsewhere as well. He's not home. They're not home. Maybe they're in the same place. Maybe they're in different places. They went someplace else. And he's still, you know, coming home from work. So in that case, they're someplace else. Shalom Bebezo. Eno Tzarech Lahadik Klal Bebezo Kevan She'en Adam Sham. Since nobody's there, there's no obligation to have the Nerus lit there. There's an idea of the Nerus being lit if somebody from the Bnei Bayis are actually going to be there, get into some difficult situations. What if we are there, but now we want to leave? We don't want to stick around for the full time that, let's say, the Nerus are going to be lit. So then you have more of an obligation. But what we're talking about is where really everybody has cleared out. Everybody has cleared out. And now that nobody's there, is there really an obligation to light? There is not. So having somebody else light on your behalf while there is no real, there's nobody actually inhabiting the house, there's no real obligation there. We'll see how this continues to play out. Gimel, nishuhu baderech. So if you are en route, you come home, it's late, it's after that ideal time to light. It's a very critical halacha. It's after Shkia, it's after Tzeis, it's 10 o'clock at night, right, in the winter. But people are still up. So Yesha Kasav Shirashai Lahadlik Baderech. So some say that you should try to light Baderech en route. You should still try to make a point of getting someplace where you could light. Tekef Betchilas Zman Hadlaka, where I know that I'm going to be home at 10 o'clock. The real ideal Zman to light is actually at, let's say, 5 o'clock. So try to get yourself someplace where you can actually light. V'acharkach, and then afterwards, yadlik od hapam bebeso. Some say that this is really the ideal, that you light wherever you are, you light en route. You know you're going to be getting home later on tonight. I'm not going to get home till 10 o'clock at night. I'm at my family. I'm at a family party. So some say that maybe you should light there, light at that party wherever you are, and then also light once you get home. So this is specifically talking about that kind of situation when you're en route or you're away from home, so you have an actual proper bias, an actual home in which to light. If that's not the case, it's not like, well, let me pull the menorah out of my glove compartment and let me light at a rest stop. That would be absurd. That would be ridiculous. So that's not something that we would do. The idea of lighting in the middle of nowhere when I'm not actually within a bias, that doesn't work. That doesn't fly. But if I'm in somebody else's home, then maybe I should light there. And then I should also light when I get home. So that's one suggestion. Achin, however, Sha'ar poskim lo savri lehu kein. So other poskim believe that that's not the case. Elam mutav shetadlik ishto obnei beso, obnei bayis bebeso bismano o shiam tinu olav. And this is really the more mainstream derech here. That if you are en route, you don't make a point of trying to find somebody else's house to light in. If you're not going to be staying in that home overnight, then really you have no chiyuv, you have no obligation actually to light there. And what we do is we wait until either you wait until you get home or you have the other members of your family light for you on your behalf while they're there. So if we're all traveling together, so then there isn't the ability to have anybody light at home because we're all there together. And instead we would just all light late when we get home. If I'm going to be very late, so I'm not going to get home until 10 o'clock at night, but they are there and gathered now, really I can have them light for me on my behalf, even though I'm not there, or I could just have them wait for me. Now, I want to pause here for just a second. On the one hand, right, what we've already seen is that there is something about being home at the ideal time to light. And that's important. That's something that we absolutely really, really, really should be shooting for. So you may be aware of the following, but this is important background. Why is there such a thing as the ideal time to light and then there's much later? So once upon a time, there was no such thing. Once upon a time, it wasn't like the ideal time. And then, I don't know, but yeah, then there's always the 10 o'clock at night option. So once upon a time, it didn't exist. Why? Because really the way that Chazal were misaken the actual mitzvah was to light specifically during the time that people were out in the public spaces, when they were on their way home, when they were finishing up at the shuk, when they were coming home from work. And you would light from the point at which people would start to populate the streets until they would no longer be in the streets. What's called in the Gemara, achetich l'regel min hashuk. When people are no longer walking around in the marketplaces, in the public spaces, because everybody's now since returned home, everybody's gone. The idea within the mitzvah of Chanukah, or one of the themes, one of the major, major motifs of Chanukah more than other mitzvos, is Pirsumei Nisa. We're trying to be mefarsim, we're trying to publicize, we're trying to let people know that something extraordinary happened, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed this great nes for the Jewish people. Now, if I'm trying to publicize that, I need a public to be able to publicize it too. If they're no longer there, no, they're no longer out in the streets, so then I can't really publicize it to them, and I can't be said to really be fulfilling the mitzvah anymore. So once upon a time, you have this very narrow window, a half hour, and a very narrow window within which you could possibly light. And indeed, the neros would have to last for that full half hour until achetich l'regel min hashuk. At some point, at least in Chutz La'aretz, we became very, very uncomfortable with the idea of lighting publicly. And we started to light inside. And that was considered sanctioned because it would otherwise have been I don't know that this would necessarily jive if we were talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, but with a mitzvah d'rabbanan, say it's hard to imagine that Chazal would have instituted a mitzvah that would have demanded that we put our lives in danger and wouldn't have given us some sort of escape clause. So once it got to a point that it was very uncomfortable and dangerous to have Judaism on display in such a regard, in such a capacity, so then we started lighting inside. Okay, what we do today is a hybrid. What we do today is we light inside on the one hand, but on the other hand, we light in a window so that people can also see it from the outside. But nevertheless, the al pi halacha, once we started lighting inside, there was this really, really important pivot that took place, where we said, hold on. How do you make sense of this all? The mitzvah itself is supposed to be a fulfillment, and it's supposed to be an expression of pirsumei nisa. It's supposed to be an expression of publicizing the nes, on the one hand. On the other hand, we can't really publicize because it's dangerous to light in a public manner. It's dangerous to light in a way that people are going to be able to see it from the outside, to light outside your home. So how, on the one hand, do we light inside and call it a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and on the other hand, say that we are publicizing? So the way that that thinking always went is that... Yeah, go ahead.
Can I stop you and ask you a question? First of all, who are we publicizing the mitzvah to the other Jews or to the Goyim?
That's a very good question. Yeah.
And second of all, if we're lighting inside but in the window, what's the difference in terms of the publicizing? Why is it less dangerous to light inside than outside if they're going to see it anyway?
Okay, so very, very good point. It's not so clear who we are publicizing to. It's interesting. This is something that's very, very worthwhile thinking about, right? When Chazal, when they were first Misakein, right, the year after, right, the year after the Nes, they were Misakein, that you have to start lighting. So they come up with this time that everybody's going to be populating the Shuk, right? Everybody's going to be outside. That's the time to light. How is it that everybody's going to be outside? Everybody has to be home already. Meaning, it's sort of like... Like, I don't know, Lahavdil. Once Waze tells you to go a certain way, anybody who has Waze on all knows that, okay, so that's the way to go. Now that becomes, that's where the traffic is now. So once they enacted this idea of fulfilling this mitzvah and needing to be home during this time to be able to do so, so then who was that? Who was that public? Who was it that you were lighting for? What pirsumei nisa is there if everybody's at home? So it seems almost inherently that the only public that was still available to be able to light for this is even in Eretz Yisrael. But remember, this was in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the, you know, almost the, I mean, the Greek occupation had just been repelled. And it's still a time of Hellenization. Presumably, not everybody's keeping the mitzvah. And that is who you are being mefarsim to. You're being mefarsim to everybody who's still out in the streets, who's not at home lighting Eretz Hanukkah. Right, the presumption is that it's not the entirety of the population. So it seems that there may have been the idea of presuming this is not exclusively for the Jewish people. Having said that, so the question of what difference does it make for lighting inside or outside? It's a very, very good point. It seems that, and this happens every now and again, that certain activities or behaviors become hallowed by time and become the minhag, even if the reason for that minhag no longer applies. And even if there should be overarching thinking to the contrary, in terms of the way that, let's say, the halacha really should or ought to be formulated. So what I mean, without being quite so esoteric, is that once upon a time you light outside. Why do you light outside? You light outside for pirsumei nisa. But now we have a problem. We can't light outside anymore because we're afraid of pogroms and we're afraid of lighting in Poland, and we're afraid of lighting in Russia, and we're afraid of lighting in Eastern Europe and in Spain and wherever else. Babel, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how far back it goes. So now we light inside. We've been lighting inside for so many generations that practice has become hallowed by time. It's become its own minhag. It's actually picked up enough steam that it's taken on a life of its own. It is now the minhag specifically to light inside in Chutz La'aretz. Oh, but what about presumei nisa? But we have a mitzvah to also be mefarsim to the public outside. So what do? It's become the minhag. We've made this pivot to lighting inside on the one hand. And yet, on the other hand, there's the idea of trying to be mefarsim, and now we can. So hence, we opt for this like middle ground of, okay, so let's light inside. We'll cover all our bases, light inside, but we'll also light in the window. So why don't we just light outside? Because the idea of lighting inside has become hallowed by time. It's become its own minhag. It's picked up all of its own steam. It's become a minhag unto itself. That's the challenge. That has real important, real critical halachic import. Because the space that we are still in today is that when we light, we are still primarily, again, we're lighting inside. We try to hedge our bets by also lighting in the window. But primarily we're lighting inside, which means that primarily the pirsumei nisa that we're trying to fulfill, and this is really the kicker, How is it that you light inside and also fulfill Pirsumei Nisa? Don't tell me that there's no Pirsumei Nisa. If there's no Pirsumei Nisa, that's not Chanukah. So how do you light inside, but you're also Mefarsim? So the notion is you're Mefarsim for your own family. You're Mefarsim for the people who are inside your own home. And that's really a shift, right? Because then you're really going from trying to be Mefarsim outward towards all the people who are not keeping Chanukah, not aware of Chanukah, and you're being Mefarsim to them. Right, which is the initial shear of Achatikla Regaman Ashok. People are still hustling, bustling, and they're coming home from work, and they're still, how are they still coming home from work? They have to be home. They have to be home to light. We're talking about a population that wasn't running home so quickly, quite so quickly to light, and they're still lingering a little bit longer. So now that's a real shift, even just in terms of the demographic that we're trying to be in the Farsim to. We're being the Farsim to the people who are already quite aware, well aware of Chanukah, so much so that they are part of the family that's actually lighting. It's a very, very interesting thing to think about. But what that means, Lamaisa, is that we've really extended and expanded the amount of time that we have then to properly fulfill the mitzvah. If once upon a time I was bent on being the Farsim to the public that was outdoors, that would have been coming home from work, so then I have only this very narrow period of time when it starts to get dark out, and then people are retreating back to their homes. I'm trying to catch them on their way home from work. That's why I have to be Mefarsim too. Once it's after that period of time, you can't really fulfill the mitzvah. What we say now is that, no, I'm really being Mefarsim for the people inside my own home, which gives me some flexibility. It gives me a little bit more breathing room in terms of trying to pinpoint the time that I can light. As long as people are awake in my own home, I can still continue to light for them. That's no small deal. That really makes a very, very big difference. So this is why he says here that if you are running late, potentially people can just wait for you. And these are really the two options. I'll tell you that classically, in halachic sources, it seems like the first option that he gives, and that he gave already in Sif Aleph, is really the better one. Right, trying to have everybody, really having somebody light for you. If you're running late, still had light, don't worry about it. There is, and I say this only somewhat, tongue in cheek, the notion of like the Hanukkah get together and that, beautiful family portrait of the entire family standing around the Neres Hanukkah looms so large and has become so important that might, to some degree, actually supersede the other considerations. There are indeed maisim of Gedolei Yisrael, Rishi Yeshiva, who were very, very, very makpid on all of the timing. And yet, because whatever it was, my family wasn't ready, my Rebbetzin wasn't ready, she still had other things she was taking care of. Talmidim are sitting around, like, getting nervous, tittering and trembling and twitching, and they're, like, stirring and all agitated over, like, this man is passing, like the Rebbe still isn't, Rosh Yeshiva still isn't lighting. And then, like, along comes the Rebbetzin, and then very calmly, like, he gets up to light. That because you have some of this extra flexibility, we're lighting for people in the house, that's the Iker Pirsumei Nisa now. I have kind of a larger window. And then you have other considerations, right? So now that we've come to expect this very, beautiful, tranquil, idealistic sort of get together, when you light Neres Chanukah, so maybe that becomes more a greater consideration. And it's better waiting. It's not the ideal time. We'll still fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa the way that we do it Bizman Hazeh. And you also get that opportunity to get everybody together. Again, it's not always feasible. It's not always possible. But that is an important consideration. I hope that sort of clears up some of that's what he says at the end here. Achein. Shar poskim lo sarilu. So for the most part, I haven't really seen this done. The idea that, I'm coming home late, so let me like stop. I'm driving from D.C., let's say. Driving from D.C. back to Cherry Hill. And I'm not going to make it back until, 8 o'clock at night. So maybe en route, or 6 o'clock, whatever it is, en route, maybe let me stop off at my friend's house in Baltimore and like a light there. And then I'll also light when I get home. We don't really do that in practice. And one of these other two options really makes a lot more sense. Either have your family light for you without you, or they wait as long as you're going to be back at a reasonable time. People will still be up and ready to have the Neros. That really would be the way to do it. And I think that's typically what tends to be done. Nevertheless, I do just want to underscore this point. The idea of being home at the right time, in your home to be able to light. The idea of being home and being able to light at the right time is really, really important. So I'll tell you again, number one, classically, the advice that would ordinarily have been given would be to have your family light without you and have you in mind. That would be the, you know, traditional sort of advice that that would have been given. Again, we may have different sensitivities now that are very, very important to us. And just to like burst another bubble, you know, sometimes like Hanukkah parties, it just becomes a little bit crazy. Sometimes Hanukkah parties get in the way of Hanukkah. We're so gung-ho about the idea of, no, I absolutely have to get together for a Hanukkah party that, like, I'm not actually going to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah properly. I'm not really going to anywhere near the right zman, or maybe I'll end up not being able to light at all. You'll come home, barely wake the kids, everybody be exhausted. It'll be midnight because I have to go to the Hanukkah party. And I, like, roll into my house, and now I'm going to try to be mekayim the mitzvah of Neres Hanukkah. It becomes a little funny in terms of the way that we treat the mitzvah, as opposed to like the greatest mitzvah of Hanukkah is not necessarily to share, you know, sufganiyot with like your Uncle Murray, who you see once a year, although that might be a very important consideration, but if at all possible to, and I mean that seriously, but if at all possible to try to do both. And again, this is why just thinking about this in advance, thinking about the timing, I can't get home too late at night because Neres Hanukkah are really, really important. Let's check out one last halakha for this evening, and then we'll call it quits for tonight. If you are in a friend's home, even though you know that they're lighting for you at home, you know that at home they're going to have kavana to light for you. He can have kavana that he doesn't want to be yotze with a hadlaka that they're doing for him in his house. The yadlik viyavarech, and instead he can, if he's staying over in his friend's house, they know they're also lighting at home. You know what? They're probably having, again, this is, we have like phones today. It's very, very easy to call and find out and to remind them, no, please don't have me in mind. I'm going to light here. But you certainly can have kavana that I don't want to be yotze with them. And instead he lights where he's staying and he even makes a bracha. Now, one thing to be cautious of, be careful of, is that if they've lit first and they've lit for you, it could be that you were already yotze, even unwittingly. Even against your will, you've actually been yotze with their lighting, with their hadlaka. So you want to try to light before them. How you necessarily manage that? Again, today we have so easy to be in touch and so easy to contact that we would do so. We'd call, don't light for me, light for yourselves. I'm going to light where I am. But if you are an oreach, apart from your family and apart from your home, they're at home, they light. And wherever you are, you would light in that location. Okay, let us call it quits here for this evening. Any questions on what we've done before we log off?
Yeah, I have another question.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I was wondering, so like you sort of addressed it. Is it the mitzvah that the person should do the lighting or that the lighting should happen in the house?
Right.
So it sounded like you were saying the lighting should happen in the house because his family could light and say, light for me. But now it got confusing because you said if he's at his friend's house and maybe he'll light over there, but right. His family had him in mind when they lit over here. So that seems to confuse the issue a little.
It's very confusing. So the short answer to your question is yes.
Yes, what?
The short answer to your question is that it's both. And this is where there's some of the tension. I mean, the way that the post can speak about it is that it seems like it is a mitzvah that devolves upon the person with an element of only being chayav if you actually have a house, which is very, very interesting. It's very unusual sort of mitzvah, but that may be how it's actually formulated, which means that it is ideal if I can be in my own home to be able to light there. But if I'm in another home and I'm calling that other place my home, so then I should also be lighting there. But I still have my own home that is being populated, and therefore there still needs to be a lighting that gets done there. So the way that I manage that ideally is that I do both, because I want to be engaged and involved in the mitzvah myself. Wherever it is that I'm staying, I would light there. But also because I have a home, and that home is actually being populated tonight, there are people staying in that house tonight, so they should still light. The problem is that if they have me in mind, it could be that I have already fulfilled my obligation before I get the chance to actually do it myself. So it is kind of both. That's sort of how it's spoken of, but it's an unusual mitzvah. Usually things that are done to the home are much more directly just considered to be a chovas habayis, something that has to happen to the house. In this case, we say that there's clearly an advantage to actually doing the mitzvah yourself, wherever you may be.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you bet. Okay. All right. Okay, everyone. So let's pick up Mirtz Hashem next week. We'll still continue with this topic. I think it's a very interesting one, very, very, very practical one. And we'll continue to discuss Hilchos Chanukah as we get closer and closer. All right. Have a wonderful night, Mirtz Hashem. See you next Wednesday.
Thank you.